Podtacular, episode 143, Halo 3 vs. Call of Duty 4 SmackDown, for the week of January 5th, 2007. This is part 2 of 2 of a special edition of Podtacular. If you haven't already, be sure to check out part 1 on podtacular.com.
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me. A battle will decide our destiny.
We also have the controls in the two games. Whole totally different deal. For any of us that have played Call of Duty 4 for a little bit and then tried to go play Halo 3 and started throwing grenades all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
How that goes.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think Call of Duty 4 does pretty good with the controls. I like the way that the layout is set and how you can use the D-pad for, you know, other stuff you have and so on and so forth. You can still, you know, throw your grenades easily and throw your special grenades and all that stuff. So I think they do a good job.
I like how you can pretty much play an entire game online with only your thumbsticks and right trigger, left trigger. You don't have to do anything else. But, you know, everything is simple if you do want to, you know, call in an airstrike or something, D-pad, you know, certain little things like that, and then reload X button. You don't have to hold nothing down or anything like that. They did a good job of mapping it out to where it's simple and easy to use.
Right.
It feels a little more natural to me, at least with, like, zooming in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where, like, using the iron sights, that's one thing I've always liked about Call of Duty is, you know, using that left trigger. Because it feels a little more natural. Like, I guess maybe, like, the motion you would do with an actual weapon, you would pull your left hand towards you.
Right.
And your right hand. So... whereas using the thumbstick on Halo, it tripped me up when I tried to go back to Halo.
Yeah.
I was trying to zoom in and
throwing grenades. You
know, throwing grenades, yeah.
Yep.
Same thing with Halo. You try to, like, sprint. You know, you keep pressing down on the left thumbstick when you're playing Halo.
Yep.
Like, oh, yeah. It won't run. Yeah, because you're not playing Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
I like the ability to zoom in with the left trigger just because it feels more fluid than
having to
click something in. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that aspect. I like when you click, especially when using the sniper, you know, you pull in with the left trigger, and then you click in, like, to hold your breath. I like that stuff. I think they do a really good, realistic job with all that stuff. So
that's something that back before the 360 launched, I thought that I heard them say a lot was you're going to be able to put whatever control at whatever button. You're going to be able to program it in each game, and I haven't seen that too much where, like, you can fire with the B button if you want or something like that. You can make it yourself. I always thought that they were going to do that, and because that would make Halo a lot simpler for me. I could change stuff up like that.
Yeah, well, not really. They don't do that. I mean, actually, I just recently changed my button layout from default to a bumper jumper, and it takes a little while to get used to, but it feels good. I mean, if you play a lot of MLG games or, you know, hardcore-based games where there's no dual-wieldable weapons, mm-hmm. you know, it flows much easier. Because you can now jump with the bumper, with the left bumper, where you can jump at the same time, keep both of your, you know, thumbs on the thumbsticks, where you can, like, move up and down, left and right. So, it's a good little change. So, I mean, if you're willing to, you know, sacrifice the learning curve and everything. So, but yeah, I wish you could. I can't even count. Like, you know, in two hands, how many people have told me before, I wish you could put certain button on, you know, certain action on this button or whatever. Chevelle was saying something about this, like, because he was having a hard time with the melee or something, and he's like, I wish I could change this button here, but you can't, you're stuck, and so it would make, you know, life easier for a lot of people. Yeah. So
I'd like to be able to fire with the guide button. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Just mash the middle the whole time.
Controller.
Yeah. Breaks in half. Oh, crap.
Yeah, but you got, I mean, there's a lot more, we were talking about how it feels more natural sometimes in Call of Duty, but it's also a lot more diverse. You know, you can run, you can go prone, you know, you can look down the iron sights and everything. Even, even if you have a pistol, you can look down the iron sights. And I think that's a big difference too, because like, if you're, you know, if you're a, even if you're a super soldier or something, you're not going to like hold your weapon at your hip and just kind of spray in the general direction, especially if you're trying to get to a distance, you know?
Exactly.
So that's what I always liked about Call of Duty as well. And some of the other games that employ the same mechanic where you can look down the iron sights and, you know, or the scope or whatever you have set up. So yeah, it's
definitely... But I mean, it kind of has to be there in Halo because you whenever you do a wield something, you can't, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but even when you I mean, I know it. You know, it is called, you know, shooting from the hip when you don't zoom in and aim and stuff. But if you look at it, you know, on, you know, third person perspective.
Yeah.
On Halo 3, you know, if you take the like theater for example, you see him shooting with the BR. He's got clearly the weapon raised up to his face, and he's like aiming and shooting at the same time. You know what
right.
I mean? He's not like
right.
holding the weapon down and be like, bleh, 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 bleh. He's got like the weapon shoulder high and everything, so
right.
you know, it doesn't look stupid or weird. Or
I think that's a good tactic in Call of Duty, is to shoot from the hip.
I do that. I don't aim, and I've told many people that before, and they're like, what? That's why I use the MP5 and I shoot from the hip. I can't aim.
It's kind of inaccurate though. I love zooming in every time with the left trigger, but that's a lot of time. Say you're coming around a corner, your enemy's coming around the corner at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And instead of just firing and having to pull on the left trigger, you're gonna probably die. But
yeah, I've done that since day one, and I still can't. You know, I don't know if it's a bad habit or not, but that's all I do when I go in. I every time I play, I grab the MP5 and I shoot from the hip. I don't really aim. I just go in.
Wow. That's when sniping is a whole lot easier in Call of Duty with that left trigger zoom.
Right, of course, unless I'm sniping or something like that, but like regular weapons, regular game, I grab the MP5 and shoot from the hip. So I grab that perk for you know, more accuracy or whatever when shooting
steady
from
aim.
The hip. Yeah, steady aim, and excuse me, and that's all I do. I just go in, shoot from the hip.
I sometimes play almost the entire match using the iron sights or the scope.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like more spot on, and I usually play a little bit more of a long range game, or you know, medium range. So
yeah, right.
I don't necessarily go running around corners all the time. But yeah, I don't know. Even though it moves like you move a little slower when you zoomed in, but
yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna land a hit. You know, have a better chance.
I actually got my headshot achievements, all three of them, by shooting from the hip too. So,
yeah, it does happen a lot. There's something off. I've shot some dude in the knee, and it gave me a headshot. I don't... something's off sometimes, unless he was born with a deformity.
Yeah, well, there's one thing that kind of ticks me off, is that when you watch somebody's kill cam, when you got killed by the sniper, they shoot you, like 5, you know, 5 to 6 inches off to the side, and
yeah.
you still die. I was like, didn't he miss that shot?
Yeah, no, it happens a lot.
You know, all of a sudden, your head's dead. I was like, oh, whatever.
But hey, not to deviate too much, did you guys ever play Black Hawk Down on the Xbox?
I just got it the other day on GooseX, and there's nobody online, so it's like, what's the point?
the thing that I loved with that game was those trajectory on the bullets. Like, if there was a guy far away, you had to, and your sniper rifle, you had to use, like, the fifth little notch down and aim high, and then you'd hit them from way far. And I was wondering if you guys think that would be a good thing in Call of Duty, if they had like a mode for where trajectory was on the bullets.
Sort of like that one mission in the single player?
Yeah, you have to...
One shot, one kill? Yeah.
You have to fix for your bullet. If he's far away, you got to aim higher or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's all about complexity, you know, it's how complex they want to make the game. They want to be able to make it where somebody can just pick up the controller, go in, shoot some people, and kill them, or, you know, you really got to learn the ropes and be like, okay,
it's gonna be like
now.
A simulator, yeah.
Yeah,
it'd
exactly.
It'd be a lot more realistic if they did that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, they gotta make that choice, how complex they want the game to be.
Right.
But then again, you know, most people aren't going to drop a grenade at their side when they die either, so.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or pull out a pistol when they don't have one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got overkill, and yet you still have a pistol.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's another thing is maps. Now, Call of Duty 4 shipped with more maps than Halo 3. What do you guys think of the differences on the maps between the two?
I'm really upset with Halo 3 maps, so I just think that they did a very poor job, with the exception of like a couple of maps. So I give that to like Halo, I mean to Call of Duty 4, so.
Wow. Saying a lot coming from you, man.
Yeah, well, I one of the things that really ticked me off from Halo 3 was shield doors. I cannot stand those things for the life of I can't even like start talking about it. It just made Halo a different game. It's all about camping. It's all about, staying behind that shield door with a ball, and then when somebody tries to walk through, you just beat him down, or with a sword, or because you can't do anything. You can't throw a grenade through it. You can't shoot through it. You have to stay there. If they have a shotgun, boom, you're done. Now they did a little better job, taking some of the, the like shotgun and stuff from the maps. But if you played a game of Lone Wolves a while back, you would go into Lone Wolves and get a ball game on Snowbound, and people would go down to that, lower level, stay behind that door with the ball, just waiting for people to come through. And then when they come through, you beat them down because it's an instant kill. Same thing on Appatap. You control the top where the rockets are, and then, the only two weapons that you can actually kill people up there is the BR and the carbine, which are located right below the rockets. So if they have the rockets and they can watch those two weapons, what else are you gonna do? Just pretty much. So it was kind of, I in my opinion, it was kind of like poorly, designed, some of the maps. It kind of like, made a, I don't know, made a big deal. Where on Halo 2, the maps were just so good. Like every map that was there was a good map, Like, you take Headlong, or you take, Lockout, Midship, and even some of the maps that came out after, like Warlock, and so they were like, yeah. So some of those maps were like, really good. It's like they really came up with good stuff. Now it's like, I mean, I like Guardian and I like Narrows, but that's, about it right now. So, and they gave us, Foundry, which is, an okay map if you can make a good map out of it. But like, Standoff, it's kind of like, I was really pissed the other time we played Team Hardcore on Standoff. It was like, I was like, why would you give everybody BRs and play it on the open map like this? It's like, I don't know. I just, I don't like what they did with the maps right now. So Isolation is like a decent map, and every other map, especially Snowbound and Appatap, anything with a shield door really makes me veto right away. So,
One thing that I liked in Halo 3 better than Call of Duty was how large the maps are, because I love sniping, and no matter what game it is, if it has a sniper, I'm going to do it a lot. And in Halo, I remember times trying to shoot a guy, and it was like trying to shoot an ant from the top of the Empire State Building. He's so far away, and it's hard to get that accuracy. But then in Call of Duty, the sniping is so good in that game, but there's no very long distances to snipe from. I hope that future downloadable content is going to have some very, very large maps, like bigger than Overgrown type maps.
Right. I think that I forgot the name of that map, the one with the barn and stuff, like the,
Overgrown.
yeah, Overgrown. I think it's a decent map. I mean, for sniping, I know, I know because I got murdered on that map one time, and by a guy who had a sniper, and he was just like sitting back one of the corners near that barn, and he just like kept shooting us down from like a distance, and I was like, oh my God, the guys on the team were like, where is he? Where is he? And, so if you're good with that, I mean, you can probably do some damage on that map. I don't know about the other one. Probably another really good map to snipe is Shipment. That's a really good map to snipe. which is like a, I don't know if you guys know
It's like a
Crunch.
golf ball.
Yeah.
It's like fighting on a golf ball.
It's that map is like as big as a matchbox. It's like ridiculous.
Terrible.
Yeah. You
What do you
play
think?
Headquarters on that map, it's like,
It's
okay.
insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
Fun map to upgrade your weapons with, though.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Captain
Yeah.
Crunk? What do you think the difference between the maps between Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4?
I don't know. I guess since I played, Call of Duty 4 the most, most recently, I kind of like what they did, because most of the maps, even though yeah, some of them don't have like the super long range, spots or make for good sniping, they do have a lot of little, places and nooks and stuff where you can you can really work, you know, towards, you know, like if you're trying to advance on the, you know, the opposing team, you can kind of work your way towards them instead of just running down a giant hallway or something. Like one Halo map that I just can't stand is, what is it? The one with, the lifts in it, the big giant lift, Construct.
Oh, Construct.
Yeah.
Because so much of it is just wide open.
Right.
And, you know, you're open to fire from just about every angle on most places on that map.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas with Call of Duty, I kind of like, you know, where you have at least something to hide behind, whether it's a blown up car or, you know, a tin fence, at least you have some kind of cover. Now, they may be able to go through it, but it gives you a chance, you know.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like maps where you're just out in the field.
Yeah, me neither. Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I play more of
I was saying
I play more of a close range game, and for me, I like the Call of Duty maps a lot better because there's a lot more complexity to them, you know? Like when Snowbound came out, you know, it's like they're hyping it up and everything, and then they charge us the money for it and everything. And,
yeah.
And although, you know, I really appreciate Gamerscore Blog hooking me up with the code for that. Thank you, Gamerscore Blog. I thought it was going to be, like, Standoff was going to be more complex than it turned out to be. It's really just a very simple map, you know? It's just a symmetrical map with two bases and some rocks. And, I mean, as far as, like, when you compare that to, like, a Call of Duty 4 map, you know, there's, like, buildings that you can go into the first and climb up the stairs and go to the second floor to. There's, you know, there's sometimes you can go three and four floors up, and then there's an open, you know, like open area in the center that with a lot of cover, and then there's stuff around back of the buildings. You know, there's all kinds of different complexity to the map that adds like different levels of strategy to the whole thing. You know, while you got Halo 3, that it seems like they try to keep it so simple and kind of dumb it down, you know, to keep things on a level playing field, but at the same time, it makes it just kind of generic.
Right. Yeah. No, I think they did a really good job with the Call of Duty 4 maps. I actually like, if not all of them, the majority of them. The only one that I don't really like is, and I don't know the name of it, but it's like an abandoned city one, and like everything is pretty much destroyed, and people usually get like on the second floor and snipe down.
Oh, with the two buildings?
Yeah.
Strike?
I think it's Strike, yeah. No, not the one with the really high tower one, though. Not the one that has the airplane.
That's Crash.
Yeah, it's not Crash. It's another one that's like, there's like this big street right in the middle where you can like go all the way down and up, and so,
yeah.
But I mean, as far as Halo 3 goes, I think that the map pack that came out, I think it was decent. I mean, it wasn't amazing and it wasn't bad, just because, you know, you have Foundry and you can do like all sorts of stuff with it.
Right.
And Standoff wasn't a bad map. I think it, you know, it's like, it's kind of like a Blood Gulch, you know, a different version of Blood Gulch and, you know, Coagulation. The one that really didn't do much for me was Rat's Nest. I really didn't like that map. But the other ones were like, you know, okay, I mean, 2 out of 3 is not bad. So, but as far as like all the maps go, I think that they could have done a much better job with the maps and, you know, implemented other stuff, you know, that wasn't there. So,
Yep.
Okay. So that's maps. Let's see. We got a few more things to cover before we wrap it up here. There's the prestige mode in and the challenges in Call of Duty 4. I don't really think there's anything, you know, equivalent to that in Halo, although there's the levels progression and everything in both. What do you guys have to say about those?
I think prestige mode is, I think it's good, but I'm not going to do it personally until I have every challenge completed and every gun challenge completed.
Let's explain what that is real quick.
Okay.
Well, prestige mode is whenever you hit level 55, your first time playing online, and then it gives you the option to go through prestige mode, which would take you back to level 1, take away everything you've unlocked. It doesn't take away your clan tag, though, but it gives you a little nice little insignia, and every time you go up to 55 and do prestige mode again, you get a different insignia, and you can do it 10 times.
Wow.
And yeah, it takes away everything you've done the whole time. I don't really, just for a little.
So it is 10 times, not 5.
I'm pretty sure it's 10. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard too. Yeah.
Oh, because I heard a couple of people on the IRC saying it was 5, and I was arguing with them that it was 10, but they kept saying it was 5 and it was 5. So, I'm like, all right, then, since you know everything.
In your face, I'm
there. I'm a completist, and I've got almost all the challenges completed, and I just needed to do all the gun challenges, and I'll be done. That's the thing that keeps drawing me to Call of Duty 4, not just the amazing online gameplay, but just those challenges and stuff, man. I love it, even though there's no achievement for them or anything. There's online achievements for Call of Duty 4.
There's sort of like achievements without the gamer score, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, I think it's awesome. I really like the challenges. So, about the prestige mode, I don't know if I would do it, but the challenges are definitely a nice little touch. What I love about Call of Duty that I wish Halo 3 would have is how you can measure your level. Like, you know exactly what you need in order to get to the next level.
Right.
Or you know exactly what you need to complete a certain challenge. All you have to go there and check your little bars. Okay, I need like 25 more headshots, or, you know, I need, you know, 855 more points for the next level. And that's awesome because it keeps you going, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to get your level before you go to bed, you know how long you have to play, you know how many games you got to win or whatever. On Halo 3, forget it, you know. I already gave up on my level and things like that, so it's pathetic.
You know, I think that's that's a big difference, and that's a key difference there between Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4 multiplayer, is that Call of Duty 4 really keeps you going, like you said, Dial. You know, as you're progressing in the levels, even if you're doing bad, you're going for the challenges, you're still having fun. Because, like, even if you lose the game, like, horribly, but you got, you know, a couple more headshots, you're like, all right, I'm getting towards that challenge. You're not
right.
That guy just dominated the whole map, that sucks, you know, or anything. It's like, whatever, got, you know, better on challenges. Can't wait till the next match, you know?
Yeah.
So between that and what you're talking about with the levels, you know, and the different perks that you unlock and all the different stuff along the way, they really keep you in the game, even if you're having a bad time and doing poorly. And you obviously learn by experience. So the more you play like that, eventually you get better and you don't do so badly.
right. So, and then, you know, and while doing that, you know where you stand too. On Halo 3, you're just pretty much blindfolded. You don't know when you're going to level up. Even Halo 2 did a better job than that, you know, because on Halo 2, you knew, you know, you won 4 games in a row, you know, chances are you were going to level up, you know.
Right.
On Halo 3, with that, you know, true skill thing, it's like, you lose a lot of games, that means you're screwed, you know, on the long run, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Call of Duty pretty much stole the lobby system from Halo. I wish they would have stole a few more things while they were at it, like the stat tracking for an online system. You know, you can see things like that. I wish that there was they would record each game session, and you could show your buddies, like, dude, look at this. I just killed like 3 guys with 1 bullet through a wall.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to show somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But Halo definitely wins on those things as far as stat tracking and.
Oh yeah, build. No. They got a big infrastructure just on that, so.
Definitely. Yeah, there's, you know, that's what Halo was trying to do, is go branch out in new directions, you know. That's why, like, on the last Vidoc, for instance, they were talking about, this is what's going to keep our game going, is the videos, is the customs, and Forge. You know, those kind of things are going to be unique things that keep our game going in the long run. And they're right about that, definitely. You know, but it's a whole different thing that Call of Duty 4 doesn't have, but then they do other things that improve on the existing gameplay that both have. That, you know, is a big difference there. And I don't know, it seems like kind of more relevant difference, because it's not branching off in a new direction, but it's improving on what's already there in a big way. So yeah, there's the difference between those in what they do on that, between the how Halo kind of goes in the different direction, and then Call of Duty improves on what's there. But as far as leveling, like we were talking about, there's a difference between how that works too, right?
Yeah, there is.
Now, how does that differentiate? Because obviously we have Halo, you have the numeric level, and then you have the military rank level. In Call of Duty, you pretty much have 1 level, right? And then you can go through around in prestige mode, et cetera, et cetera. How does the leveling up work in Call of Duty, and how does that differ?
Well, on Call of Duty, you go in and you play your games, and you get points for, like, you know, kills you get, and, you know, headshots and things like that, and you get extra points for doing your challenges, you know, from, you know, 1,000 points at a time to, you know, 250 to 5 and all that stuff, like, you know, Kronk was saying. So you get, you know, points for that stuff, but when it comes to Halo 3, you have your military rank and you have your numerical rank, where the military is pretty much, you level up, I mean, you win a game, whether it's social or, you know, ranked, you get an experience point for that. So that's one towards your military rank. Now, on numerical, if you start, you know, winning a lot of games, chances are that you're going to level up much faster than somebody who has lost a lot of games, and now they're starting to get good. Like, if you take, you know, Maester, for example, like, he had on his account, he started off, like, winning a lot of games, so he got to level 50 very, very fast because, you know, he had won more games than he had lost. Now, people like, you know, even like myself and all the guys there, we lost a few games in the beginning, and, you know, now when we're getting the hang of it and we're trying to get through, it's like there's a barrier there. We can't get past a certain level because, you know, we lost a few games now. It takes longer and it's harder to get there. You'd have to win several games in a row in order to get, you know, to a certain level when, you know, if you win like on Halo 2, you could win like, you know, four games and level up. So it's like it's much more complex than Call of Duty 4. Call of Duty 4, I'm not saying it's an easier game or anything, but I'm saying the level is much more, it's easier to understand and it's easier to follow and it's more, you know, you have a better sense of achievement on Call of Duty 4, I think.
I do like how in Call of Duty 4, like with leveling up or gaining XP, they at least tell you or, you know, it's indicated to you what you're scoring, what you're getting.
Right.
You're getting 10 shots for a kill or five, whatever, depending on what you're playing. Or you're getting 10 shots for call, or 10 points for calling in a UAV or a chopper, you know.
Yeah.
Or you know, so it's kind of, you can kind of add it up as you play the match. Whereas with Halo 3, I don't remember ever seeing anything like that, any indication of how far I'm advancing.
Well, on Halo 2, you could. Remember on Bungie.net, you could go in and you see, like, your level bar. And you saw, like, your level thing. I know it wasn't in-game, like Call of Duty 4, which is great. And I've said that before. Call of Duty 4, I love the level, you know, much better than Halo 3. But I'm saying, like, I wish they would have kept some sort of, you know, mechanism there where you can see, you know, where you stand. You don't have to guess, so you don't have to give up on levels like I've done. You know what I mean? It's like, forget about it. I'll never get to the next level because I've won so many matches in a row and nothing changes, you know? So it's kind of like, whatever. You don't play the game for that anymore. It's kind of, if you really want levels, then, you know, you got to start a new account and do good or whatever. So it's a whole different story. Like, Call of Duty 4, hands down, has a much better level system than Halo 3 does.
I find it very satisfying in Call of Duty whenever you complete its challenge. And
yeah, exactly.
The music plays, and it's like you just completed whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, most of the time whenever it happens, I wasn't even trying to, it just happens.
Yeah. Some of those you can't even make happen. They just have to happen by accident.
Yeah.
Harder job.
I got 2 kills, 1 claymore the other day. I needed it, but I wasn't trying for it, but it just happened.
Yeah. So things like that, it's like, you know, and then when you get a challenge, you see the little music playing, you know, whoa, you know, 800 more points towards my next level or whatever. So I know I'm there, you know. And then you see your promotions happen like real time too and all that stuff. So it's awesome. Yeah. It's great.
Definitely. So one of the things, there's customs, of course, in Halo 3, a big thing is customs. And in Halo 2 it was. The customization of the whole thing, the way you can, you know, tie that in with Forge. I know there's customs in Call of Duty 4. Have you guys played those at all?
I haven't.
I actually haven't either. I mean, I've gotten into a couple of private games, but as far as I remember, there wasn't much customization going on.
Hmm. No, there's not a whole lot of... I do like the ability... You have to have a good somebody that can host a pretty good room. You start up a private match. This is how people do clan matches. Mm-hmm. You can change all the settings, the timers, the whether you want hardcore on or grenades out and stuff like that. But it's nowhere near as in-depth as Halo is as far as what you can... what's in the map and what is going to happen.
Okay, so Halo wins hands down on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially when you tie it in with Forge. So now there's also the party system. This is pretty straightforward, but I guess it's pretty much the same in both, right?
Well, even last night when I was playing, and probably because of problems that have been happening with Xbox Live, but
yeah.
I feel like the party system with Call of Duty 4, it maybe looks like it, and seems like it should operate the same way, but it doesn't necessarily behave the same way. Like, it doesn't actually work right to me sometimes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, going into a game, I know last night I was playing and I actually got split up from my host. The host, you know, the host of the room or the lobby or the party. And so we were in different games, but we're in different rooms.
Oh, weird.
And then you exit out and you come back, everybody's back in the lobby again.
Yeah, it has some networking issues, which is, I think that the patch for Call of Duty is in certification with Microsoft, and so hopefully it's out this month, and they're supposed to be fixing that kind of stuff where host, you know, I've done that too. I'll host a game, and we're going to go into a team hardcore deathmatch or some team deathmatch, and I go in, but then everybody else in my room didn't go in with me, so I had to back out, and then when I backed out, they were still there talking to each other like everything's fine. They didn't even know what happened. It has some things like that. Halo is they've definitely had more practice with this party system, I guess would be a good way to put it.
That's
and
true.
With a lot of patching, that Call of Duty 1 will be fine.
Yeah,
I think that the party system on Halo 3, to tell you the truth, I really like the party system of Halo 2. So, and, you know, Halo 3 is just, I'm not saying it's like the same kind of stuff, but they did do a good job, though, with both. I mean, I guess I was spoiled with Halo 2, which was an amazing party system, which every game tried to copy, but they failed, or they just decided to not look at that and do their own thing, like, you know, Gears of War and, you know, Rainbow Six Vegas, and none of them came even close to the party system that Halo had. So
definitely.
I think that, you know, Halo 3 has got a really good party system, so...
I think the Halo party system should be a standard for all Xbox Live multiplayer games.
Yeah. Honestly.
We've been saying that for ages, man, but nobody ever listens, you know? It's like, no, we're going to do it better, you know, and then they do something else.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh.
Call of Duty is the first
bother.
One that's ever came really close.
Yeah. They've come pretty close. And, you know, it only makes it obvious, though, when you see things that are missing from, like, the Halo party system. Like, if you want to hand off the party to somebody else,
yeah.
Or if you want to take your party into another party, or you know, to join up with someone else's game, I don't remember seeing any ways to do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like it's halfway there, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, another thing is being able to easily, you know, mute other people from both in the party and both and also. You know, in the game in Halo 3 and things like that. But then again, it seems to me that comes into play more in Halo 3 because you go into matchmaking in Halo 3 and it's a whole different atmosphere usually
That's
than
true.
Call of Duty. So,
right.
For the most part. So, you also got a few more things here. You got vehicles. You know, I didn't even think about this until I wrote it down. I was like, you know, you don't even drive any vehicles in Call of Duty 4.
I know. It's missing.
But you control them.
Definitely missing. Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah,
there's...
You have a chopper and airstrike. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, it's funny because like you don't even notice. It doesn't. You know, it didn't even bother me at all. Well,
it's
there's some
the
games.
The maps aren't big enough.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. There, it's
I mean,
like
the few maps. Yeah, the few maps that could you know accommodate vehicles. You really don't even need vehicles on them.
Yeah.
Because like we were saying earlier, the maps are so complex as far as obstacles and objects that.
Right.
You know, you're not going to find yourself having to dash, like, you know, all the way across the map in the wide open, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of the thing that plays in on this, too, is that in Call of Duty 4, you can easily be one shot, one kill. Not always, but if they hit you right, you know, if they hit you in the head, then it's one shot, one kill. And if you're driving by in a vehicle in a flat area and someone's behind you and zooming in with a sniper, you know, you're dead. You know?
Oh, that'd be a satisfying kill.
Oh, yeah.
Kill a guy in a moving vehicle.
Yeah. Well, I would think it would be easier to do in Call of Duty, which makes sense why they just said, you know what, let's just keep it infantry. And that kind of makes sense, too, because, like, let's say you're a, you know, you're not a super soldier. You're a regular old soldier, and you're trained to shoot guns. You're not trained to, like, fly a freaking F-16 and, you know, fly a Blackhawk helicopter and, you know, drive a tank and everything else and be like the, you know, jack of all trades of war vehicles in, as well as being infantry. You're trained for one thing, you know, shoot and kill people kind of thing. So that makes sense. You know, you're kind of a specialist in that area. And you know, obviously it specializes beyond that with the classes and create a class. So, So I think
even in the
that's
single
definitely.
player, was that way too. You don't, I don't think you ever drive in the single player. You ride.
Yeah, you ride, but you don't drive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ride a lot.
Yeah. Some tough riding.
Towards the end there. That's yeah. an awesome thing at the end with it when you're in the truck.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
and it's very satisfying
ending.
To kill a guy through the glass, and the Call of Duty has a really good blood splatter. In the game.
You know, it does. Like, when you headshot someone, and the whole back of the wall just gets totally, like,
yeah.
Did you kill the guy in the helicopter on that sniper mission?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you shoot that guy, the entire cockpit becomes red.
Yeah.
Like yeah. a mole and red glass. That's
all. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, you would have thought with a shot of that 50 cal. He probably doesn't even have a head anymore.
I know, pretty much.
Call of Duty did a really good job with blood splatter, so we'll make another category and give that to them.
Yeah,
plus one
blood yeah. splatters.
Because yeah. whenever you're sniping a guy, especially when they're running up in a wall behind them, and you get a running headshot, and then when they drop, and then there's blood splatter on the wall. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They did a very good job with it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Halo goes, kind of errs on the side of, you know, let's keep this as family friendly as possible, but at the same time, at least they have some blood, but it's weird. It's almost like semi-transparent, you know, like the, if you don't look for it, it's like you wouldn't even think there's any blood in the game.
Yeah, I know. Unless you're like on the theater watching, you know what I mean? And you go for like a close headshot or like a melee or something, you're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Call of Duty is pretty dialed down as far as blood goes. I mean, if they wanted to, they could throw in a lot of blood. Like whenever you're just laying into a guy, it could just be blood going everywhere. So they really dial it down.
If we make another category, then let's give it to a Gears of War, because I think that's like the bloodiest you can get.
Yeah, that's just disgusting, yeah, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they could, without going over the top, they could make it more realistic. That's, I understand there was a game, Soldier of Fortune game, one of the sequels to that,
yeah.
where you could, like, freaking blow people's arms. And, yeah,
I played that game
stuff.
A lot online on the original Xbox, and that was a pretty gruesome game.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it better this way, you know. Keep your body
yeah.
intact, have a little blood.
Yeah. I'm not that type of a guy that wants to see all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
So sadistic, exactly. Yep. So I guess the last thing, you know, the big wrap-up of all of them is fun factor. Which one is more fun to you guys?
I don't know. I'm more of a realistic kind of guy, so I'm going to go Call of Duty just because I like, you know, the one-shot kill type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, I can have a lot of fun on Halo as well, so it's hard to say.
I'm kind of going to go with the Camaro. Like, I like the fun factor. And I'm going to say one of my most, you know, favorite games of all time is Rainbow Six Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to Rainbow Six Vegas 2. But
yes.
I think, like, fun factor, I want to say Halo. Maybe because, like, I've been playing for so long since, you know, Halo 1, release date, Xbox One, you know, and Halo 2, Halo 3. And all of my friends that I play on a regular basis are usually on Halo 3. So we usually have a blast playing Halo 3. So I think, like, you know, fun factor to me, it's Halo 3. So.
The thing that adds to it, too, is who you're playing with.
Right.
It's on Halo. This is two games that has probably some of the worst filthy mouth people online.
Oh yeah.
Which is why I've made my entire Xbox where I can't hear you unless you're on my friends list. Which gave me a newfound respect for Call of Duty. I'm playing it even more now. But yeah, if you're playing with friends in Halo or Call of Duty, you can have a ton of fun no matter what you're doing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think for me, like I've been playing Call of Duty the most, you know, lately, but I feel like I've had more fun with Halo, and not just Halo 3, but the previous games.
Right.
Than I ever have so far in the last couple months.
Exactly.
Call of Duty 4, and it's more because of the people you play with and the situations you get into that are just, you know, you couldn't imagine some stuff happening with some of the maps and, you know, customization and stuff like that.
Some crazier stuff happens in Halo, like
yeah.
a grab lift and I was flying in the air and he headshotted me while I was in the air and just a ton of more stuff like that happens
yeah.
in that game.
And just the, you know, being able to customize games, like you'll never have a team bubble bath in Call of Duty 4.
Right.
Right.
It's so, true.
But, no, it's true.
And, you know, I think Call of Duty 4, where it stands out for me, is the challenge of it. Like, I don't necessarily play it even with people that I know. I sometimes just go into rooms by myself, and it's more about, like, hitting those challenges, getting the XP, and, you know, advancing in the game for my own score. It's not necessarily even about, you know, the objectives or the people I'm playing with.
Right.
And so that's why Halo, to me, is still more fun to play because of the people that I would play with or even the games that I would play, the types
right.
of games.
Yeah, it goes either way for me. You know, I have fun on both, really. I guess it's just kind of, I mean, I go back and forth. I have game ADD anyway. I go back and forth between all these different games. So, like, I play one for 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm bored with that. Let me get another one. So, you know, so I'm back and forth between these anyway. But it really does depend on a lot of different factors. You know, you can have a really bad time playing Halo, and you can have a really, really fun time. And I think that just the range is different, you know, where
right.
where you can have more fun and you can have less fun. But in Call of Duty, it's kind of more steady because even if you have a rough time, you're still getting towards your challenges generally. So it's
yeah.
not as rough, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily get as amazing because you don't get all the different, the gravity, the vehicles, the customization,
right.
the forge, you know, all the different stuff and all the bizarre things that can happen and all the, you know, the fun you can have with friends and everything. So yeah, it's, I guess there's a difference there, but definitely both are fun in their own right. And, you know, they're kind of apples and oranges in some ways. In other ways, they're both, they both are kind of along the same lines and both have things that they do better, but both are definitely fun games and worth having in the library for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're pretty much main. Their greatest common factor is they're both first-person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
hard to compare them in certain areas. I think we did a good job, though.
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
Work it straight down. All right, well, wrapping this up, send in your comments, et cetera, to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
And you can call in our listener voicemail, 206-888-HALO, and leave a Halo-related message. And I will play those back on the call-ins and Tales from the Foxhole show, and I might make fun of you, but don't get mad.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums too. There's a lot of events and projects and ways to make new friends and play Halo with some cool people. So check us out at podtacular.com.
And thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, digging the podcast on dig.com, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
Check out other shows on the GamerCast Network. There's GamerTag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkie, and the GamerCast Network Video Game Show.
And, of course, GamersGarage.com, right?
That's right, TheGamersGarage.com.
So it's with the in front? The
Yes, TheGamersGarage.com. Check us out.
All right.
Right on, man. Definitely. Got to hear more of that. Well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I am Dalpex.
I'm Captain Crunk.
And I am CamaroGuy579.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
Keep on fragging trucks.
And a privilege.
And a privilege. And a duty.
You just said, I'm JVB.
Yeah.
No, I'm JVB.
Jay Bizzle Bizzle.
There's only one thing left to say. GamerCast.